In a few minutes, what companies are doing to prepare for attacks in the workplace. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Big trading decisions may be on pause pending the November employment and unemployment reports due this morning.
I don't expect such fantastic numbers, but I do expect somewhere around 200, maybe a little less in the November report.
Meaning 200,000. Gad Levinon is Managing Director of Economic Outlook and Labor Markets at the Conference Board. The government report will also reveal how quickly hourly pay is going up.
I expect to see a significant acceleration in the coming year in wages, and I'm a little surprised that we are not seeing a little faster wage growth already, with the unemployment rate reaching the natural rate. Faster wage growth is just a matter of time, in my opinion.
The unemployment rate, a different calculation based not on payrolls but a survey of households, is expected to hold steady at 5%. Representatives of the oil producers' cartel are meeting in Vienna today. Several published reports suggested that the most powerful member of OPEC wants to cut a deal to lower output to raise the price. These reports are being denied by Saudi Arabia, and as Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports, even if the Saudis were interested in this, a consensus would be tough to build.
There's much tension between oil-producing countries about how to handle the oversupply problem. Jamie Webster is Senior Director of Oil Markets at IHS. He says they're all actually on the same page. They all want output lowered.
Yes. The difference is that everybody wants somebody else to cut.
An agreement to stabilize the oil market might need to include non-OPEC members like Russia. But Webster doubts Russia would be game for shutting down any of its production.
When you shut down a field, there's actually a risk that it can't come back on.
And he doesn't expect the most powerful player, Saudi Arabia, to turn down the spigot either, even though other countries with smaller cash reserves are begging it to. Ed Herz is an energy fellow at the University of Houston. He says the Saudis don't want to cede any market share to other countries.
It's a worldwide game of chicken in a 94 million barrel a day market.
Herz suspects OPEC will stand pat, which would keep up pressure on high-cost players like U.S. shale producers to pump less. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Checking stocks, the 100-share index in London is down 0.25% after the key stock indicators for the U.S. fell nearly 1.5% yesterday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning so far, with that November jobs report due in about an hour and a half. Now, including the horrors of San Bernardino, California on Wednesday, there have been more than 300 mass shootings in the U.S. this year, according to some definitions of that. To at least help protect employees, companies are paying for something called active shooter training. Marketplace's Noel King has the story.
The training is usually some variation on run, hide, and as a last resort, fight. Michael Crane is Senior VP at Hillard Hines, a security firm that has done these trainings for casinos, hospitals, and resorts.
We're getting more inquiries, we're getting more phone calls, both from new clients and also current clients where we've done other work for them.
Industry-wide statistics on trainings and prices are hard to come by. One big company, Walmart, started training its workers earlier this year. Pete Blair is with the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training Center at Texas State. The group worked with Walmart on an active shooter awareness video for employees.
Well, Walmart had seen that the active shooter threat was a real potential threat. They've had some incidents happen in some of their stores.
Greg Crane is president of the Alice Training Institute, which also specializes in active shooter preparation. He started Alice after Columbine. He says there are more companies like Alice now and more room in the market for them.
I've seen many of these events occur. Every one of these events, we get more calls.
A growth industry with regrettable reasons underpinning its growth. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
We're 5 days into the UN's conference on climate change in Paris. This week, Chinese President Xi Jinping told delegates that countries should be allowed to seek their own solutions according to their national interest. This from the leader of the world's biggest carbon emitter. But as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, China has also been taking aggressive action on this.
China's political system is an imperfect one at best, but when it comes to laying out targets for carbon emissions, it does the job.
I think the advantage is obvious.
Mark Clifford is author of The Greening of Asia.
It's a very top-down system. It's run and led by engineers. They look for technical, engineering-driven, technocratic solutions. They believe in climate change because they're scientists.
And that's why China's government has invested billions into becoming a world leader in wind, solar, and hydropower. Nuclear energy is undergoing a renaissance in China, too. 4 out of 10 nuclear power plants currently under construction in the world are in China. China's reliance on coal, too, is shrinking. But Beijing-based Zhou Xizhou, a director at IHS Solutions, says there's an economic reason for that.
I think the most important driver of that reduction is the industrial slowdown. It's not the environmental policy.
Zhou says central planning is crucial for China to meet its carbon reduction goals, but he rejects the idea that China's government acts as an integrated unit when it comes to making environmental policy. On the contrary, Zhou says there's a fierce debate underway in Beijing between government officials who want to prioritize China's environment and others who think doing so will further slow down China's economy, leading to more unemployment.
So there's still very much a balancing act to play here. And the more you get into sort of domestic politics here, the more you realize that the different voices are probably just as hard to coordinate as you would have in Washington.
Although, says Zhou, those debating voices in Beijing aren't as public as those inside the Beltway. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And it may be time to slather some private equity onto your cheeks. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that 130-year-old beauty products company Avon is in advanced talks to sell its North American operations to Cerberus Capital Management. No dollar figures yet. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. From studios at Montclair State University, I'm David Brancaccia with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.